Hey, hi, hello, my friends. It is Jenny Johnson with the Cageless Podcast, and we have a really wonderful guest today. This is my friend David, and we happen to meet on the wonderful world of Substack where you are listening to this podcast. Hi, David.
Hey, Jenny.
So happy to have you on today.
It's great to be here. Thanks for inviting me.
Yeah, of course. So, some background about David. David is a solopreneur from Northern Ireland. He's a writer of the Substack publications How to Write for a Living, the Solopreneur Stack. And David, do you want to say your last name correctly?
McElroy.
McElroy's Fiction. He has an adorable golden retriever that I have seen so many times on the Notes app on Substack. He's so cute. And probably writes one of the most helpful Substacks I follow as a freelance creative. So I'm so excited to have him on today. David, can you tell us a little bit about the conception of how to write for a living and kind of your process as a writer coming onto creating a living on the internet?
First of all, Jenny, thanks very much for your kind words. Really appreciate that. It's always nice to hear people enjoy my publication, so thank you very much. How to write for a living is pretty much what it sounds like. It all kind of started as a bit of an experiment. I only started writing online about 6 months ago, and it kind of grew from that point pretty quickly. I believe as a writer that all writers should be paid for what they do. I think if someone wants to write for a living, there should be processes and pathways to get to the point where they can do that. So that's what the publication's all about. It's about helping people go from writing for a hobby to writing in such a way that they can pay their bills on a full-time basis. And we share guidance pieces, personal stories, and just anything that I would have liked to have got a few years ago when I started writing, to help me get to the point where I can pay my bills as a writer. That
That's
makes
right.
sense.
That's right. And what has been your favorite thing that you have learned that you've shared? Like, oh my gosh, this would have helped me so much. I have to share this with other people. Or I wish that I would have known that. Let me tell everyone about that. Because every single one of your essays that you put out, I'm like, this is amazing, you know? So, like, do you have a personal favorite lately?
I guess just the concept of building an email list as the basis for your audience is so crucial for writers. It's crucial for anybody in any business, especially as we go further and further along the digital marketing route. I think just any way that you can use writing to build your mailing list and grow that audience that you can reach privately without the barriers that platforms traditionally put in place. So I'm all about that. I'm super into that kind of thing. I love figuring out how things work. I love going onto platforms, figuring out what makes them tick, and then using that to my advantage, and then sharing that with other people as well. So yeah, email is an exciting aspect of writing. And just I guess the other aspect I love about writing is figuring out how to stand out from the crowd. So how to write headlines that stand out, that stop someone scrolling through their app and make them want to read the rest of what you've written. The headline is 50% of each post, realistically, in terms of the effort you put into it. So I think that kind of thing is fascinating, and I love working out how to make work for myself.
Yeah, you say email is the most important, not Instagram or X or Facebook or what has been your experience? Have you tried to grow on like social media and fought the algorithms and then decided Substack or any other email thing that you can use has been better for you? Was it like a trial and error or was it more like a research, figure it out type thing?
I did spend a lot of time on social media, and I do still spend a lot of time on it. My business at Trek and I, which is all about helping people find places to walk and hike around Northern Ireland, that's my website. That's what my main business is. That is built primarily on social media. And I love social media. My problem with it is that they made it more difficult than ever to grow there and to move people from social media into your mailing list or into a place where you can do business with people. So I know that you've got a big following on TikTok, which is awesome. And I'm sure you find that really, really beneficial. And I find the social media platforms that I have for my business really beneficial too. But I've just learned in the last couple of years in particular that it's good to have email as a bedrock of what you do, because social media is like shifting sand and it can go away at any moment. So I think the main purpose of social media in 2024 should be to build your mailing list. And then the main purpose of your mailing list is to grow your business. So that's what I think.
Absolutely. And social media, for me at least, is becoming increasingly less about community. And whenever you do, that's something that I really love about Substack, is that I feel very close to the people that reply to my emails, that get to actually know me. Because your email isn't going away. Your Instagram algorithm, your TikTok algorithm is always changing. Someone can take your attention and they don't have to give it back. And so for me personally, Substack has been the coolest thing to like actually relate with people. And even though you can, I guess, contact people through DMs and comments to actually build a business, email seems to be the way to go. So it's really awesome. The title of your Substack is fantastic. Whenever you decided to create your other publications, was that like a personal choice or a business choice? Like, did you want to explore different sides of you? Did you see different revenues? What was your nucleus of thinking on that?
I've been writing online about writing for the last couple of years, or well, the last 6 months, I guess, in particular. But I've also been writing about solopreneurship alongside that, so building a solo business, which is what I've done personally. So I've just learned a lot of stuff over the last couple of years, and I want to just share what I've learned with other people, just in really simple terms. Again, what I would have liked to have known 5 years ago, I decided to write about that kind of stuff too. And it didn't really fit into how to write for a living, so I wanted to create a separate publication for that. And then my third publication, excuse me, David McElroy Fiction, is what it sounds like. It's just a place to share my fiction, and my upcoming fiction is going to be coming out in the next few years. So they all kind of work together and feed into each other. I use the recommendations feature to grow each publication as like a little triangle. So that works nicely, and Substack is brilliant for that. And as you say, it's such a great platform.
Do you consider yourself a businessman or a creative?
Good question. Probably a blend of the two. I probably primarily a creative, and I've always been a creative. I hated anything to do with maths or science. In school, I always loved English and art, and I studied English and film at university. So primarily, first and foremost, I'm a creative, and I've had to begrudgingly become a businessman over the last couple of years, I guess. But the best description is just solopreneur. That's the simplest way of describing it, because that kind of covers everything. It covers business, it covers writing. Probably similar for you as well. Would you describe yourself in that sense, or how would you describe yourself?
Probably the same. Like, I have always been the singing and dancing on my parents' bed girl. And then now I read like business books for fun. You know, it's a really cool world that we get to live in. You know, me also coming from a film background, I lived in Hollywood for a while and I was knocking on doors and waiting for doors to open and gatekeepers not opening them. And so that's kind of how my creativity wasn't forced to grow, but it was actually a really cool form of water of like, okay, well, when I was 9 years old, I just took my mom's camera. Like, no one put me on Disney Channel, no one put me on stage. Like, I'll make my own stage. And it's cool that in 2024, you're able to monetize that if you can learn the skills of being a business person. And that's what I love about your publication is that it's so fruitful and helpful and gives tools to people that might not necessarily know how, which generally you don't learn how to build, you know, your own one-person business in art school or any kind of creative school formal education. So that brings me to the question of, Where do you see solopreneurship and technology and business moving within the next year? Do you see more email marketing? Do you think it's going to be turning more towards photos, videos? How do you think that people will be changing in their relationship with technology?
So I think what we've experienced over the last 5 to 10 years has been a real surge in the attention-based economy. So I think platforms like TikTok have a massive impact on that, where it's all about attention. How do you gain attention? How do you keep attention? But I think there's almost a kind of exhaustion level with that, a little tiny bit, some people. Maybe you feel that a little bit too, I'm not sure, but I kind of feel that people are now craving authentic, just simple connection with people. And I think a lot of the time the best way to achieve that is through writing. And that's where I kind of feel things are going. I think newsletters have always been around, emails always been around. And I kind of resisted it for a long time. I always thought it was kind of something you don't really need to do, like social media handles everything. But I can see more and more people placing more emphasis on email. That's why I think platforms like Substack are growing so quickly now. I think people on Substack who are using it actively are kind of one step ahead of everybody who hasn't quite got there yet in terms of social media. I see a lot of people desperately, desperately trying to grow their Twitter following, for instance, or X, whatever, and Instagram and that kind of thing. And that's it's good to grow it, it's helpful, but I think you need to move more towards building your email list and having that private connection with your audience. And I think more and more platforms are going to move towards that route. I think Twitter X is already developing its own email kind of system, like X Mail, and they're calling it. They're going to be just articles now. I'd say it won't be long before you can go on to X and have an email subscription tier on that as well. I could see it going that direction too. Substack is the everything app that X is trying to be, and I think other platforms are going to start moving that direction in the next few years.
Yeah, I really hope so. It's funny that you say people, someone who has been so involved in video and like I had a MySpace and a Tumblr and used YouTube since I can remember, and I'm tired of it. It's like I have started to notice people on trains more reading. And like yesterday, I was in a waiting room and there were two people reading. And they weren't on their phones. And I'm like, I like seeing this, that like the one form of storytelling that has never gone away is starting to come back because our squirrel brains, I guess, are evolving to the point where it's just not scratching our itch anymore. The oldest form of storytelling is human connection, is words on paper, on a screen. And that's really, really cool to me. So I'm glad that you're kind of thinking the same thing. But yeah, how do you personally like cultivate that creative part of you rather than just, oh, I need to make money out of something that I really enjoy? What are your inspirations and things that you go to like water yourself as a plant?
Nicely put. I think a big part of it is just stepping away from the business side of it sometimes. Like my wife and I love movies, we love reading. We love watching and reading things that are high quality. So I love nothing more than sitting down and watching a TV show that the writing is so good that it bleeds through it, and I can almost see the script running down the screen because it's just so good. Like you watch something like The West Wing, which is obviously a bit older now, or something like that, and it's just the writing's just incredible. And the same with books. I just love reading a book and just thinking to myself, how did the author come up with this? This is just so good. And that for me is like a rejuvenation process. I read or I watch or I listen to things that are crafted in such an expert way. And I can't help but be refueled with that. And yeah, I think a lot of the time it is just a matter of writing things I want to write just for the sake of it. So that's why I like to write fiction as well. I love writing on Medium, I love writing on Substack. But I also love writing books. I love getting up at 6 o'clock in the morning, making a cup of coffee, clutching a hot water bottle if it's winter time, and like sitting in the corner behind the spare room door and just tapping away on my keyboard. And that I've written three books that way, and I say I plan to write many more over the years to come. So, yeah, consuming high quality content and then setting aside time to just enjoy your craft for the sake of enjoying it. I think that's key.
And that it can take discipline, like waking up early or saying no to looking at your email, saying no to engaging online, even though you know that it will be supplemental to your business. But then also coming back to like, I'm not a business making machine. That's not why I'm on earth to make money. My goal on earth is to exist and to enjoy my existence. So that's super encouraging to hear as well. If you could give your top three creatively stimulating movies, books, magazines, what would they be right now?
Oh, wow, that's a big question. I'm a big horror fan, so I love horror movies, horror books, all that sort of stuff. So yeah. Anything made by Mike Flanagan, who made The Haunting of Hill House and Midnight Mass and those kind of shows. I just love the way he does things. So he's a real source of inspiration for me. Obviously writers like Stephen King, like going back to just the classic, the experts, top of their field, those kind of guys as well. And then going to TV shows, again, I mentioned the West Wing, things like, what else have we watched recently that's been amazing? Have you seen Severance on Apple TV
Oh
Plus?
my gosh, bravo. It's so
Yeah.
good.
Brilliant. Yeah, like that kind of thing. That's what I absolutely love. That's a real lesson in how to craft something top quality. So yeah, things like that. Just I have like certain niches that I always love. Love horror. I love sci-fi, and I love fantasy, that kind of stuff. So anything in those categories that's top of their field, I'll gravitate towards straight away.
I love that. I was thinking about The Haunting of Hill House the other day because when it came out, it was so popular. Everyone was talking about it. But I was thinking about a particular scene. Like I was walking and I was thinking about a scene and I was like, wow, that was actually really good. And it's so important, I think, to consume media that keeps you thinking years later and, contemplating years later as equally important to consume silly little things and funny YouTube videos and radio shows and podcasts. Like I just started watching The Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt, and I'm like very I'm not the person to pick comedy, but like my life lately has been so go, work, and it's like sometimes you just have to, nothing can help more than a good scare or a good laugh,
Nicely put. Kimmy Schmidt's really funny. I love it. I love anything that's got Tina Fey involved with it, like 30 Rock, or equally, in terms of what do you call the actress who plays Kimmy Schmidt? I've forgotten her name now.
The redhead.
Her, you know what I'm talking
Yes.
about. But like things like The Office as well, or Parks and Recreation, those kind of shows that are they're just good, clean fun. And again, so well written and so well made. You need that sometimes, don't you?
Yes, that's so good. So good. Well, speaking of fiction, I would like to share with everyone that David has a fiction novel and a new Substack course coming out next month. Can you tell us a little bit about both of those?
Yep, sure can. So this is going to be my debut novel, that I started writing in 2020, at the height of the pandemic, and finished in 2021. It's a young adult fantasy, so if you like things like Harry Potter, Lord of the Rings, that kind of stuff, it's right up your street. Aimed at teenagers with teenage protagonists. It's called the Soulburn Talisman, and I'll send you something that you can put a link to it, so you can see it as well. Maybe send you a sneaky little copy of it too.
Yay.
But it's yeah, so it's inspired by elements of Irish mythology that I've kind of grown up with, and the landscape of Northern Ireland, where obviously I'm from. I'm a big hiker, so we spend a lot of my time in the mountains, and that kind of landscape that I have on my doorstep is just simply incredible. Northern Ireland's a very, very small country, but it's extremely diverse in terms of the landscape, and that was kind of the original inspiration for the book. So I'm excited to have that out. It should be available on the 31st of May on Amazon and places like that. So I'll put it on Substack, obviously, and you're gonna hear a lot about it in the next few weeks. And then in terms of Substack, I have a course coming out, should be next month. And it's for everybody who is either starting a Substack publication and wants to grow it, or they already have a Substack publication and they want to see how they can develop it further. It's just, again, the straightforward processes and steps that I went through to grow mine to where it is now. And just kind of no fluff, just cutting through all the candy floss around it, and just kind of focusing on how do you do it? How do you go from nothing to having a publication that you can use, which can maybe one day become an income stream as part of your revenue. So yeah, look out for those.
Perfect. Okay,
Yeah.
everyone, May 31st. I will be
Yeah.
so ready for it. Well, David, I'm so grateful that you came on the Cageless podcast today. As he mentioned, I will add all of his links, follow all of his publications, and be on the lookout for his new fiction novel on May 31st. Thank you, David.
Yeah, thank you so much, Jenny. I really appreciate it. And thank you for your kind words about my publication. And I'm going to go on a limb here and ask if you will write something for my publication at some point if you have time.
Yeah, I would love
I'm going to
to.
put you on the spot.
Yeah, no kidding. I think I'm blushing. I would love to. Thank you. Yes.
Sweet. Awesome.
Perfect. Well, we love you guys, and we'll see you next time on the Cageless Podcast.
Thanks, Jenny.